Now, the hospitality of the saints here for this week we've been here has been outstanding. Now, I go to the gym, and I worked for 3 months to lose 5 pounds. I lost it. I'm so glad I found it. I mean, it's outstanding. There's one word I'd describe our time here, the word warmth. The warmth of the saints was just beautiful. And so we praise God for the time we were with you. We look forward to praying for many of you. We've had so many requests for prayer. You know, when people share their concerns with us, we're humbled by that because people believe that Callan and I are a praying couple, and that encourages us. I couldn't think of a better way of being complimented than people sharing their prayer request with us. And what I like about that is we're not vague prayers. We just don't pray, I pray for Ray. It doesn't mean anything. But when we get the details, we can pray with intelligence. Now, we had a passage read today. I'm not going to preach from that passage. I just wanted you to hear that because it's the background for another passage found in John 21. John 21. Now, in the passage that was read, we see three of the disciples who were partners in the fishing business. And the Lord blessed their partnership and gave them 2 boatloads of fish. And yet, because, you know, Peter says to the Lord, I'm a sinner. And yet, that was the beginning of their following, really following the Lord. They forsook all and followed him. It's a little insight, I believe, to missionaries. Missionaries are not individuals who said, well, I can't get a job. I'm groping around. I guess I'll be a missionary. That's not how it works. I know when Ed McCulley left to the mission field, he was studying to be a lawyer. And if you remember his testimony, it was at Marquette University. He was walking across the campus. He had known Jim Elliott. Jim Elliott was here. And Ed said, I was on my way to class and I heard the call of God, turned around and never went back to university and went out to South America. Many of the missionaries that are commended to the Lord's work are people responsible, intelligent, God-fearing, love the Lord. They're not has-beens. And so here's this trio together again at the same Sea of Tiberias. And the Lord Jesus is going to show himself to them after his death on the cross. And this will be the third time his disciples will have seen him. Now, there are many here this morning who have been walking with the Lord Jesus for years. And when you get to a passage like that, you'll say, why would these men who were following the Lord Jesus, some of whom had seen him after his, or all of them, seen him after his resurrection, why would they fall back on what they know best? Fishing. And I read the passage and I look at it and I examine my own heart before the Lord. And these 7 disciples that are described in verse 2, all are going to follow Simon's suggestion. Now, we go through many adventures in our lives as believers. sometimes we're very zealous. Then a sickness hits us, and we become upset, wondering why. And even though we have made a real commitment to follow the Lord Jesus, we stumble. And some of us revert back to what we know best, our work. And maybe we're drowning our sorrows or trying to get something right. Well, these men had experienced great adventures. They saw the Lord Jesus. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." Now back in the story in Luke, he fished all night. Similarity here. Caught nothing. The Lord Jesus is in the boat, one of the boats. The catch is, I don't know how much money that two boats would have made for his trade. A tremendous amount of money. So it's always impressive that my business is booming. Ed McCulley, you're going to become a lawyer. I was going to become a high school teacher for English and math at Catalina High School in Arizona, one of the best high schools back then. They had a full airport, airfield in underneath the school. It was terrific. But we listened to the call of God. We were out to win souls for Christ. We have to be careful. There's nothing wrong with being studious. Maybe your thing is reading or education. That's beautiful. Maybe you're into other areas of life. And you want to be conscientious. You want to be honoring to the Lord. But these men were missing something. And so they go fishing. Now those with him didn't say, "Oh, wait a minute, Peter. We heard the commission of our Savior and our Lord that we know. Don't you think we should be doing..." Remember, he said to us, or maybe the sons of Zebedee said to Peter, "You're going to be fishing for men. Don't you think we should be doing something else besides fishing at this crucial time in our lives?" No, no. To them, it was a good idea. No one disagreed with him. They said to him, "We are going with you also." Well, that's nice. I don't know how that made Peter feel. It was his idea. "Well, let's all of us get together. We need to do something." Well, that's good. We're not sure what way we should turn, but let's go fishing and just leave it there. Now, I don't know if they thought about what happened earlier in their lives when the Lord Jesus brought all these fish in. I don't know what was in their minds, but they went fishing. And they said to him, "We're going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night, they caught nothing. Now, we read a passage of Scripture like this, and that's several hours. And that probably was the best time to fish in that area. And they caught nothing. Now, as you live your Christian life, you say, I'm a faithful servant. I have a daily devotion with the Lord. I'm being very conscientious with my family. I be careful. I don't overemphasize my hobbies. I don't go to too many of the baseball games. I only watch the Badgers from time to time. And I hope the Packers win Monday night. And then, bam! You feel an emptiness in your life. They went out, they're experienced fishermen, just like they did in Luke 5. They fish all night and don't catch a thing. Now, a wonderful thing happens. You know, in Revelation, it says, I stand at the door and knock. The wonderful thing about our Lord and Savior is that he wants to meet our needs where we are. He never wants to be shut out of any of our conversations, any of our decisions, any of the things that we enjoy, what we read, what we watch, our family relationships, our relationship with our kids, our relationship with our neighbors. He wants to be involved in our lives. But we fail. We always drift back to what's easy for us. So these fishermen have to be quite discouraged. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Dear believers, let's be frank. We want to do a lot of things our own way. I don't know what you fill your mind up with, what thoughts come to you. But I know in my life, in our life together, we don't want Jesus standing on the shore. This boat is out 100 yards, filled with 7 disciples who've been fishing all night, and they caught nothing. And all of a sudden, this person appears on the shore. Now, Jesus reaches out to them. There's a warmth that's going to take place now. And it's a warmth that we feel as children of God. The Lord God warms our hearts to each other, to himself. We don't want coldness, indifference, no feelings. They're able to hear his voice. They're close enough to shore. Children, have you any food? No, I've done a lot of fishing, trout fishing. What'd you catch? Oh, wow, you catch a 12 inch and all of a sudden it becomes 16 inches. I had a wonderful time. We must always, always be honest with our Lord, with the Lord God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, total honesty is what he seeks from us. Now, we can rationalize about our weaknesses, even our strengths. You know, I find it interesting. A lot of people I talk to who are believers, they always seem to emphasize the wrongs in their lives. They have a very hard time talking about what they've actually accomplished for the Lord. We had a dear friend in Quebec. He had one leg, he had polio as a boy, and he had a limp and he had a cast on his leg. He was a man of God. He really was. One day I sat down with him and I said, "Roy, I want you to take a piece of paper out." He was going through some difficulties. I said, "I want you to put a line down the paper. On the left side, write down every good thing you know about yourself. On the right side, every bad thing." You know where he started? On the right side. Didn't put one thing down on the left side. Why? Now you think of your lives, and I suppose we hesitate to say, "Well, the Lord is able to help me." We're afraid that pride's going to get in the way and we're going to be boasting. When my brother Al, who's a great soul winner, tells some of his stories about how he reached people for the Lord Jesus Christ, I rejoice. It's good to, you know, we need a time where we can share in our lives our accomplishment, not just our sin, confess your sins to one another. Well, enough of that. What we need is to tell each other in some type of meeting of what accomplishments we've made as believers. Now, you're not going to do that with an egotistical attitude, but you're like they're honest. When they asked him, "Did you catch any fish?" "No." God, I think, rewards honesty. But I want to hear from you, from those that love the Lord, what you're doing, whose lives you've touched, how you've grown in your understanding of the Word of God, what you're doing to help those in need. Why not? And so I said to Roy, "I'm amazed, Roy, you are one of the best listeners to people's problems that I know. Put down, I'm a good listener." "I guess so. You really want me to?" It's not what I want, Roy. You've got to assess your Christian life realistically. Why dwell on sin? Do you know, if we dwell on sin, Satan's happy because we're dwelling on ourselves. You know, your sins, I'm going to confess every sin I've ever committed. You're spending a lot of time talking about yourself in the wrong way. It's uplifting. You know my background, I've talked about it. But this desire as a kid to succeed, to do the best I could, Brown Street School, just a little kid, straight A's, come home, mother's too drunk to appreciate it. I hope there isn't amongst believers jealousy. Well, if I tell someone that I am enjoying the book of Acts or the book of Job, maybe they'll feel I'm belittling them. Why would that be true? So when Jesus heard that they didn't catch anything. Now he goes to their level, where they are at that moment. He didn't say to them, shame on you. You're experienced fishermen and you didn't catch anything all night and the fish were right where I know they are. Now I'm going to just make a statement. It may not be right. I think they were fishing on the wrong side of the boat. They probably were shoving in their nets on the left side of the boat. It doesn't take much. And when we think of the input of believers, I hope we're this way. When we make a mistake and someone comes to help us correct that mistake by saying something kind to improve our lives, let's accept that. Let's accept that. Now, Jesus is on the shore. He didn't clean the nets. He didn't do anything. But he's the creator of the universe. And when we get involved in messy situations or self-doubts, remember, you're talking to the creator. He can give you insights into what's bothering you better than anyone else. Cast the net on the right side of the boat. Well, the story we read, Peter had some doubts about, you know, they were out all night and they didn't catch anything, and he made a comment. He said, well, okay, but because you say so, we will do it. Now, when we deal with the person of God, we have our human frailties, but we do have some connection with the Almighty God who loves us. He's opened our lives to Him. He's given us new life, and we can associate with Him. Now, I don't know, in your personal time, family time, yourself with the Lord, what you say to God. Don't be afraid of it. Say what's on your heart. Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Now, three of those men, partners, they heard similar stories in the beginning of their knowledge of the Lord Jesus, that he did say something similar. He knows what he's talking about. We had two boats full of fishes, or fish, I should say. They didn't question his word at all. I know some of you, you read your Bibles faithfully, and you find the wonderful stories of Scripture and the wonderful commandments of the Lord. We're truly his disciples if we keep his commandments. And so, as we get into the problems of our lives, we rely on His Word to help us solve those problems. We're growing in our experiential knowledge of God. He wants to help us. He wants us to feel cared for. Now, I don't know if they reflected back. I mean, it's 3 years have gone by. But when Jesus said, the right side of the boat, it's not a matter of opinion anymore. He said, that's what we're going to do. There's no discussion. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw in it because of the multitude of fish. I'm not going to go to all this whole chapter, but can you imagine? You're going through a difficult sickness. There are some going through other difficulties. I was talking to a brother just before this, and I'm not going to name who it is or anything, who was going through a difficulty. And I liked what he had to say. Even though I'm in a very difficult situation, I can feel I'm being drawn closer to my Lord. You know, that takes something. If you're in pain, pain from sickness, your bones hurt, or you have a cancer, are you, oh, why me? This is unfair. Life is not worth it. I don't want to live any longer. Take away the sickness, Lord. Those are normal reactions. But can you say, like this dear brother said to me just before, it's drawing me closer to you, Lord. When we discover Yahweh in all of our lives, our spirit grows. The inner man is growing day by day. The outer man is decaying. And when you get to my age, that you take that literally. This is a wonderful Lord we have. And it's so, the warmth is now coming out. Wow. Look at all the fish. Now, this is what we need. The next verse is what we all need. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Here's a man standing on the shore. They can't quite make out, even by the way he dressed. But John, he recognizes it's the Lord. It would be wonderful if we had the consciousness to do so under circumstances very difficult for our brother or sister in Christ. In spite of what's taking place, that you can be there, not just to say I'm praying, but be able to manifest something of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. In all of our lives, what we need most is the Lord. The Lord God. We're going to be spending eternity with the Lord God because we've trusted in Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins. We've confessed him as the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he wants to bring himself into our lives, into our daily consciousness. We need each other. I don't know if you realize how much we need the fellowship of this chapel. We come together to worship. We come together to hear ministry. We come together to pray. But we come together to share the love of Christ with each other. Some of us are a little bit hesitant. See, and there's reason for that. Others of us, we can't handle the problems of others. We don't know how to handle them. Someone has cancer, we don't know what to say to them. And the person who has cancer has trouble conveying what he or she needs. I don't think Wolf would mind if we went to see them again yesterday. He was sleeping. We turned on the ball game. Liga was there. And all of a sudden, out of the bedroom, here comes Wolf. I heard your voice, Bob. You woke me up. But he said, I am so glad to be able to watch the game with somebody. Otherwise, I don't watch baseball. It's baseball. And it's nice when you're with another believer who's going through a lot. Show excitement for the Word of God. Excitement about their life with Christ. Excitement about their witness. Let's not lose that excitement. When we were in Quebec, we were with several other workers. And we'd go to the meetings, and these workers would be there. And there was one worker, when he sang like this. Praise God from whom? I said, do you have something? Do you have a headache when you're singing that praise God? No. Well, why do you touch your head and have a frown on your face when you're singing such a beautiful song? I don't know. I didn't know I did that. Well, where's the radiance that comes, the joy and peace in believing? One of the dear young men in Quebec, this happened in the late 60s, was killed in an automobile accident. And we went and made all the arrangements for the funeral because he was the first one in that Christian community that died, that family. And we went to Jacques' parents, and they didn't know what to do. So we did all the arrangements. And the father came up to me. He was a big, husky farmer. He reached out, he grabbed my hand until my fingers turned blue. Just, he didn't say a word. I was so glad to get my hand back. 10 years later, we were at a conference. And this couple were at the conference. And she walked up to me and said, oh, Mr. Thrall, the man who loved my son. What did I do? Now, I bring it to your attention because it's in my soul to have that kind of reaction for doing what you felt needed to be done. One of his brothers came into the funeral parlor. And I said to the parents, you have to sit. And the parents were off in the dark. I said, sit by the door. Because people that are coming to see your son will want to see you first. So one of his brothers came and he was hesitant, and the casket was there, the open casket. That's the way they did it in those days. I said, what's the matter with you? I don't want to look in the casket. I said, that Jacques's not there. What do you mean? He's with the Lord. It's just a frame. That's just his body. It's, oh. Go there and look at it, but don't be afraid. He's with the Lord that he loved. So he goes up to the casket. Well, his younger brother comes in. It's funny. He has the same reaction. This guy comes in and says, what's the matter with you? I don't want to go. What do you mean you don't want to go? He's not there. He's with the Lord. And then the brother went up to the casket and everything was fine. Pointing people, fellow believers, in dire circumstances to see the Lord is very precious to us all. Now, what did it do to Peter? Remember, Peter denied his Lord 3 times. That'll be settled in the rest of this chapter. But But when he heard, when Peter heard, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. Now, I don't know how to put this, but when you see the Lord in your life, really see the Lord, you're going to do things that you wouldn't normally do in everyday circumstances. Peter was so touched that it was the Lord. Remember, he had denied him. It was the Lord. He jumped out of the boat. Wait until the boat gets to shore, Peter. We can get there faster than you can. No, they can't. And he grabs the fish, 163 fish, and pulls it to shore. Jesus had asked them, "Do you have any food? I got a big load of fish here. I want to bring it to you." Now, we have a breaking of bread meeting. At the breaking of bread meeting, we center our thoughts on the person of Christ. But sometimes the breaking of bread meeting seems to slow down a bit, and you're sitting there, and you're trying to get an image of the Lord in a wonderful, positive way. And maybe someone chooses just the right hymn. And they're saying in the hymn, "This is the Lord." Or some brother gets up and reads a passage, and all of a sudden, your whole demeanor changes. You become excited about the worship event. But you couldn't find it alone. You needed the input of a fellow saint. So Peter looked at the shore and went, John said, "It's the Lord." I can just hear hallelujah. I preached one time in the Haitian, it was a Haitian community, and I was preaching, going to preach a gospel message. And the meeting lasted an hour and a half. It was my turn to get up and preach the gospel message. And I can't explain this. But certain phrases I used, there was 80 to 100 Haitians sitting there. They would say, "Praise the Lord! Gloire à Dieu!" Well, in the brethren assemblies, we don't do that. So I'm going on my message. Bob, be careful. But I wasn't preaching anything. It just came out of them. Now, I'm not saying we have to do that. This man I was talking about, Roy, we were going fishing. He said, "I invited a friend along." And the friend looked at me and he said, "Dear brother, I've got a song for you." I beg your pardon? "I have a song for you. I want to sing you this song." And the song was, "I'm traveling on the road to heaven." And he sang the song to me. After the meeting here, I'm not going to sing a song to any of you. But it's the gesture, the awe, the wonder that we share as believers. You know, we want to share scripture, we want to share prayer, but we need to share ourselves. Now look at verse 9, and I think we'll have to close with this. "Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread." Go back to Revelation. want to come in and sup with you and you with me. Jesus had prepared breakfast for these seven men. When we think of Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ and what he wants to accomplish, I kind of shudder a bit sometimes. I have the wonderful feeling that he wants to be with us more than we want to be with him. And I'm always humbled when I'm reading the Word of God and all of a sudden a scripture grabs me by the neck almost. And I see something of the wonder of the Lord Jesus or the wonder of the Father or the power of the Holy Spirit. And I remember, maybe I told this, I don't remember if I shared this with you. I was in like office bedroom that we have in our house and I was reading this portion. And you know what happened? I fell flat on my face. Fortunately, I fell in the bed in gratitude to Almighty God. Now, maybe we're not alike. Maybe for you, you get very quiet, very humble, and you feel that you're in the presence of someone who loves you dearly and deeply. Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be. He's preparing a place for us. He prepared breakfast for these disciples. Unthinkable, a wonder. And I think that we need to have a sense of praise that wells up and brings glory to his name. And that's why I was so glad that Jim repeated what we are talking about on Wednesday night, the doxologies of Scripture. There has to be more praise in our hearts for a Savior who died for us. Let's pray. What, our Heavenly Father, can we say? We are in the presence of a loving God, a loving Father who gave his Son to be the Savior through his death. And a loving Savior who wants us to be in his presence and to enjoy his comfort and his peace. And the power of the Holy Spirit to whet our appetite to discern the truths of the Word of God and the lovingness of Christ. Watch over us today. May we take each moment preciously, and may we walk in newness of life. This we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.